Coming up on KUCB News, faster internet service is one step closer to reaching the Aleutians, and an invasive crab species that has wreaked havoc on New England animal habitats makes its way towards Alaska. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Theo Greenlee with some local news on Monday, July 19th, 2021. The telecommunications company laying a new fiber optic line to improve digital connectivity to Unalaska says it's reached a major milestone. GCI's AU Aleutians fiber project plans to lay hundreds of miles of undersea cable along the sea floor from Kodiak Island to Unalaska. GCI's Jennifer Nelson says the Norseman II, a fishing vessel that was repurposed for the project, surveyed about 95% of the 800-mile route.
It's easy to kind of string something along on a map, but you don't know what's down there. So it was really taking a peek at what's underneath the water, and then we'll see the framework come through with another more detailed survey. So this kind of looked at what's on the surface under the water, and then we'll come through and look at what's kind of underneath.
She says research into things like wildlife migration patterns and subsistence and commercial fishing grounds done prior to the initial survey helped make this leg of the process smoother.
We didn't find anything major that would cause a delay or have us to take a completely different route.
She says the fiber will sort of just sit on the seafloor in some places. In other places, where trawlers might drag their nets on the ground or where strong tides could disrupt the fiber's path, the cable will need to be buried. The next step will include more nearshore surveying as well as seafloor sampling to determine where the cable will need to be buried. Nelson and other GCI representatives visited the island last week to meet with Unalaska officials and get a better idea of the community that this project will serve.
This will be the first of many visits. So really just to get that boots on the ground experience in terms of project and community.
GCI's crews will likely arrive to Unalaska around October to begin laying the ground fiber. Nelson says the company is working with homeowners and city planners to find the least disruptive path for the cable to connect homes and businesses to the landing site, which is located near the tip of the spit. She says the second marine survey will begin next month. In the meantime, the Norseman crew will process data from the initial sample and plan for the upcoming one. According to Nelson, Unalaskans can expect to have access to the fiber network by late next year. GCI's AU Aleutians project is estimated to cost almost $60 million. GCI is paying for over half of that. The remainder is funded through a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture intended to help boost connectivity in rural areas. Across Alaska, chambers of commerce, among other organizations, are offering incentives for people to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The state of Alaska is hoping to launch a new incentive program. But $50 gift cards or a chance to win a larger pile of cash can only go so far. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Alaska State Chamber of Commerce President Kate Capozzi says she doesn't have much data yet on the $1 million incentive program that local chambers are operating, but she says it seems to be working.
Some communities have actually asked for more funding because it's been so wildly popular that they see more opportunity to continue these incentive programs and get more people to show up to get their vaccinations.
Manilek in Northwest Alaska offered a drawing for a drum of stove oil, but typically the incentive is money. In July, the Anchorage Chamber began supplying city-run clinics with $50 gift cards to give to newly vaccinated Alaskans to redeem at local businesses. Bethel offered $100 cards for the grocery stores. The vaccine is now widely available in Alaska. The people most eager to get it have probably done so already. UAA economist Kevin Berry examined a small survey of Alaskans who are unvaccinated.
But the most common reasons why people are hesitant, number one is I don't think I need it. Number two is side effects. And the third one is I don't trust the vaccines.
Berry says incentives work to get people who were close to the threshold anyway. Cash or even free beer has a way of lowering barriers. But Berry says incentives aren't that helpful for people who don't trust science or authority figures.
The folks that I know who don't trust the government would trust them even less if they were being plied with free beer. Because then the question would be, if it's so good, why are you bribing me?
You'll find exactly that kind of response among some Alaskans if you look at the Facebook posts where local chambers of commerce announce their vaccine incentives. Economist Jonathan King, an Anchorage consultant, says research conducted outside shows an ideological split when it comes to monetary vaccine incentives.
It turns out that that actually tends to work better. At least the data suggests that that works better on people who are on the leftward side of the political spectrum. For the right is more interested in, well, is this a path to freedom from the restrictions associated with the virus?
And King says that's a problem in Alaska. Conservative areas like the Mat-Su, Kenai Peninsula, and southeast of Fairbanks have the lowest vaccination rates, and they never had much in the way of local restrictions to lift. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
One small crustacean is costing New England shell fisheries millions of dollars. The European green crab might be small, but it can destroy vital habitats for animals all along the food chain. In July 2020, green crab were found off Canada's northern Pacific coast, the closest they've ever been to Alaska. With the help of volunteers, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game hopes to stay one step ahead of this invasive species. Katie Anastas reports on the latest efforts in Petersburg.
It's low tide at Petersburg's sandy beach. Sunny Rice and a group of volunteers walk toward a crab trap. They're on the lookout for an invasive species called the European green crab.
So they were found fairly recently just south of the border with Alaska and British Columbia. And so we're looking to see what we see. Hopefully we don't find a green crab, but it's always more fun if we find something.
Green crab are small but mighty, measuring around 3 or 4 inches wide. They have a dark greenish-brown shell with yellow spots. To check whether the crabs have made it this far north, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has asked volunteer groups to set up traps all over southeast.
How many traps do you have?
Six. Six here, and then two of them behind the Fish and Game office where Hammer Slough comes in. Mm. We've done one time here IDing already. Didn't find any green crab, which is good. Didn't find any other crab either, which is not as interesting for these guys.
Rice is with a group of high school students with the Petersburg Indian Association's Natural Resource Management Program. They head to the last trap. Once again, today, there are no green crabs.
Unfortunately, you guys, this is sometimes what monitoring is about. And as we know, we don't really want to find a green crab anyway, but...
But it would be cool to find it.
Yes.
Getting a group of kids, or anyone, excited about not finding something is a bit of a challenge, says Tammy Davis. She's the Invasive Species Program Coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
In this case, you're hoping to get zeros across the board, which, you know, as a citizen monitor, it may be somewhat of a deterrent because getting zeros isn't as exhilarating as finding that thing that you're looking for, you know.
But citizen monitors are a vital part of the search for green crab. Green crab could be a serious threat to juvenile salmon, Dungeness crab, and other wildlife vital to southeast ecosystems and industries. Davis said the big problem is habitat destruction. Green crab like to get into eelgrass beds when they search for clams, mussels, and other invertebrates. When they do, they clip the leaves or uproot the eelgrass entirely. That leaves other animals, like juvenile salmon, without a habitat.
And so that whole food chain gets disrupted when green crab move in, and it's sort of a cascading impact, both destruction to the habitat as well as reducing and altering the food chain.
It's happening on the East Coast, too. In New England, green crab are uprooting eelgrass and eating softshell clams. East Coast shell fisheries have lost an estimated $14 to $18 million annually because of green crab, according to Environmental Protection Agency research. Green crab populations there continue to grow because of rising sea temperatures. As sea temperatures rise here, Davis said, Alaska could face a similar economic and ecological threat as New England.
Aquatic invasive species put those things at risk, either through predation or habitat destruction. So it matters to all of us if invasive species get introduced and then spread.
So what can you do if you see a green crab? Davis says pick it up, take it home, and get a good photo of it, especially the top of the shell. You can call the invasive species hotline or upload the photo online to the department's invasive species reporter. Fish and Game is always looking for volunteer groups to help set traps, too.
Even if you can't commit to, you know, setting traps next time you're out walking on the beach, look down, and if you find a shell that doesn't quite look like a dungey or doesn't look like whatever crab is native in your area, that could be really important. You might be the person that finds the first green crab.
The invasive species hotline is 1-877-INVASIVE, and you can find the invasive species reporter at adfg.alaska.gov. In Petersburg, I'm Katie Anastas.
More than 30 runners took part in the Ballyhoo Mountain Run on Saturday, with teenager Charlie Moyer coming in first place. Charlie's been practicing up and down the mountain all summer, and it paid off because he completed the just over 2-mile run in 38 minutes and 10 seconds. Check out the PCR Facebook page for a complete list of winners as well as all participants' times. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Theo Greenlee, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
Have a news tip, photos, or video to share with the community? Call up the tip line at 5-